Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives, sharing their expertise and life stories, making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. My guest today says it's time to own your real power, the power within. Her new book reveals an all-new understanding of intuition and how to use it to live an extraordinary life. It's called Radical Intuition, a revolutionary guide to using your inner power. Interesting book, this, very timely, because I think today we're going to have to use our intuition more than ever to navigate whatever is coming next for us, and who knows what that is. But she has some great tools and resources in this book that I'm looking forward to sharing with you. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. She is Kim Chestney. She's the author of this book, Radical Intuition, and several others. She's a globally recognized innovation leader and the founder of Institution Lab. Her work's been featured or supported by leading edge organizations such as Carnegie Mellon University, Comcast, and Hewlett-Packard. She lives in Pennsylvania. She's joining us from there today. And here's my guest, Kim Chestney. Kim Chestney, welcome to the show. Welcome.
Hi, Vicki. So great to be here.
Yes, I'm very pleased to have you. Congratulations on your new book, Radical Intuition. I think it's extremely timely, and I'm sure you're really excited to have this out right now.
Thank you. I am. And I know what you mean. Right now is such an important time for people to reconnect with that inner knowing and that inner center in these crazy times.
Yeah. So I know you've worked for almost two decades as a leader in the tech sector. You also write extensively for almost the same amount of time about intuition, about developing intuition. And I'm really curious how those two aspects of yourself and your career came together for you.
Yeah, that's a good question, because it is very counterintuitive. And I think for a lot of my life, I was sort of living these two lives, you know, this life that was, you know, dedicated to intuition and working with intuition. And then I was also in this technology world and working with some of the, like, the biggest tech companies and on the planet. And my two worlds, I'll never forget the day they came together when I was sitting in a strategic planning meeting with a tech company, and everyone started talking about intuition. And suddenly it all made sense to me. It all clicked. And then, you know, this was like 10 years ago. And then, you know, over the last decade, I started to realize, and this is really the whole purpose of Radical Intuition, is that, you know, intuition, we've been focusing on like a kind of a little silo of intuition when we talk about spirituality and the more sensitive side of intuition. But intuition is so much bigger than that. It applies to life in virtually every way, in everything we do. It's really just a counterpoint to our intellect. And when it comes to business and technology, as I learned, it is becoming this new holy grail for innovators and artists and technologists when they realize that intuition is the secret sauce now.
Right.
Making things extraordinary, right?
Right, right. Well, you say the information, not just you, but many say the information age is going away and the next era is already being defined as the imagination age, the ingenuity age, or the creative age, whatever it's going to be called in the end. But intuition is going to play a very vital role in that, you say, and that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. So where do you see us heading there? I mean, how soon do you think we'll be moving away from that and into this age, or is it going to be a gradual creep?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I think it's, you know, it's already happening. I've been watching it happening, you know, in my work over the last 10 years. I've seen the seeds of it sprouting, and you know, really super smart people really get it. You know, that's the thing. You see these leaders, these people working at the thresholds, the naturally intuitive people and ingenious people, they get it. Like, people like Steve Jobs are out there, like, you know, he was shouting intuition from the rooftops. And, you know, look at what he was able to do in this world and how he really transformed our entire planet.
Absolutely.
Ideas.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. And so for the purposes of our conversation, I want to really define what you mean by intuition. I mean, radical intuition, as you call it, is, and the book is, The Revolutionary Guide to Using Your Inner Power. So what do you mean by intuition? You say it's a new way of understanding, it's new school intuition, it challenges the fundamental nature of consciousness. What does all that mean?
So really understanding this sort of reimagining of intuition that we're talking about with radical intuition, it's understanding intuition is our connection to the knowledge and wisdom that is above our thinking capacity, right? So there's I kind of look at, like, I think I mentioned in the book that the way that we're used to thinking and everyday thinking is very Newtonian. You know, it's very linear, cause and effect, sort of problem solving and formulaic.
Yeah.
But when it comes to intuition, it's more like quantum physics. It's more extraordinary in terms that it defies nature and it taps into this sort of information that is beyond what we might expect. So, you know, you can talk about intuition, you hear people talking a lot about, having an intuitive download, right? Or being able to access information that is in this kind of genius place that's beyond our everyday thinking. And you hear, like, even people like Einstein would talk about how you just wake up in the middle of the night and have this sort of epiphany.
Right.
To get the answers or the solutions. So we're talking about this process that manifests in many ways of higher information that we simply receive through our intuitive ability. So it's not about going out and learning how to think smarter. It's about learning how to open up to the natural insight that flows through us from wherever, from that higher place, call it the cloud of universal data that's out there that
right.
All the world, right? We have that, our intuition is what connects us with that.
Right. Now, in my own experiences, I've often used the words intuition and instinct interchangeably. You know, I was raised by family, grandparents, parents, aunts and uncles who always said, you know, trust your gut, follow your instinct, follow your intuition. You say, even though they're close, intuition and instinct aren't the same. So would you separate the difference there for us?
Yeah, and I mean, for all intents and purposes, you can say that you follow your instincts, and it's not wrong, it is kind of an instinct, but, you know, I really wanted to clarify something important about instinct, because so often instinct is something that comes from a subconscious place. It's something that, you know, we do, and we don't, it's more like a compulsion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with intuition, we might not know why we're doing something, but there's a level of consciousness and higher consciousness to it. We're aware of it. We're aware of what's happening on a higher level. So for me, intuition is in this realm of super consciousness and higher consciousness, where instinct is more in the subconscious kind of flow.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And intuition is not following your heart. It's not just for women. As you just said, Steve Jobs was notoriously famous for following his intuition and to heck with what the outside world thought. And it's not our conscience. And I think those are important things to bring out too.
Absolutely. I mean, so many people get confused about those things, and they think it's related to guilt and all those other stuff. But really, it's really a positive, life-affirming experience, and it wants us to grow and evolve and live our best lives.
Right. Now, you say everyone has intuition, and I certainly know people, and I'm pretty sure you do too, who say, I don't believe in intuition, or I don't have intuition, it's not something I was born with. But you say everyone has intuition. So is it just that they're not recognizing it for what it is? You know, they're not paying attention, they're not tapping into it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really easy to shut our intuition out, you know, and I think that a lot of us do it and we don't even realize it. Even people who are intuitive, we miss things. And I think with people, like my husband's one of those people when I met him, I don't have intuition. I don't have any of that. And now he's just like loves his intuition. Now he gets it. But I think a lot of people are just really busy. A lot of people are really just tuned out to that kind of energy. So they turn it off, or they choose not to notice it or accept the things that come to them as intuition. So
yeah.
It's really about awakening up, you know, waking to it and really acknowledging it in your life.
Right. And I think often along the way, until we learn to trust it, we can often overrule it because we want to make rational decisions. So let's look at a couple of examples of what life looks like when we're living with intuition versus when we live without it. This is all stuff you talk about in the book in much greater detail. But I want to look at the difference. Like, let's say we're looking at wellness of our life and how we're showing up if we're not living with intuition versus the difference it would make if we show up with intuition to our wellness.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways that that can manifest. And I think, you know, in terms of being healthy and, having a good relationship with our bodies, you know, it, part of that is really listening to those little nudges that we get from our bodies, or those little instincts, as you might say. When we open up the refrigerator and you see the food in front of you, some things appeal to you, other things don't appeal to you. Your body can, communicate with you very intuitively through just those little, attention gathering moments and the way that it moves us. Because part of intuition is really, it is about moving us. It guides us. It sort of pushes us towards the right things for us. So listening to those nudges and honoring those nudges can really help us to eat better. It can help us to, choose better treatments when we are sick. It can help us to pick the exercises that we need and the fitness routines and the daily rituals that we need to keep our body healthy.
Yeah. And let's look at spirituality on that same level, because so many people are looking for spiritual healing and guidance right now during these weird times we're living in. And you say people can meditate all they want, but it doesn't mean they're living with intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we look like with and without intuition in a spiritual way?
Yeah, so intuition really calls us to know ourselves, right? To know ourselves, to connect with ourselves, and to live that truth in the world. So, when we're really connected with our intuition, we come alive. We follow our passions. We know our purpose. We know how to serve in the world, or we know how to simply be and enjoy the experience of being alive and the wonder of existence. So it really lights us up from the inside, and it's a beautiful process when you're going through that intuitive awakening and you start to see this world with new eyes. So, meditation, I always say, is a gateway to your intuition. Being in that stillness and allowing it to speak can open up this sort of portal to your intuition where you can receive all this insight and connect with the world on another level. Now, just because you're meditating doesn't mean that you're going to be opening to your intuition if you're not open to the things that come to you during meditation. So it's not just about getting into the stillness and being calm, which is still important, though. Don't get me wrong, that is such an important counterpoint to the world today. But it's also taking the insight from that quiet space and bringing it in the world and making the world a better place.
Absolutely. And so when we're living a life with intuition, how does that manifest in how we show up every day? You say in the book we show up with confidence, we show up with authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're it's being ourselves. And I think that's one of the keys that people, we hear people say the phrases like, be true to yourself and live our truth and phrases like that are really resonant, I think, with a lot of us. And most people don't realize that they are implicitly connected to our intuition.
Right.
Intuition is what shows us who we really are. Only us. You and only you know what you're made for and what you're capable of. And, listening to that and honoring that inner voice and that inner guidance instead of everything the world's telling you about yourself, right? Because we grow up and people create limitations for us all the time. You can never do that. That's not for you. That's not who you are. And if we listen to those voices for our whole life, we find that we're living someone else's life and we're not our true selves. And then we get into these lives that, we're in a rut or we're in bad relationships or the wrong job because we've been listening to what everybody else has been telling us our whole life and we've denied our personal truth. So reconnecting with that truth and who we are and honoring what we want and putting our inner voice first above the voice of the world, that's when radical change can happen in our life.
Right. And I love that, Kim, because, I think about my own life and how it was shaped not necessarily by immediate family, but by people, in the surrounding areas. And when I look back and I think, well, boy, I didn't do that, or I thought I wasn't good at this because that person said I wasn't. And yet I look at that person now and I see, they were full of fear themselves. They didn't live, large themselves. And it's a good good when you finally realize that and can make up your own mind about things.
It's true, and it takes time sometimes. You know, you have to be bold. It takes courage because sometimes it's scary to take those chances and get out there and defy what everyone thinks of you. So it is definitely something that, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't realize it even until later in life because it takes a certain amount of confidence and courage to get to that point. But, you know, as long as we get there, that's what matters.
That's what matters. Right. And I know you did tremendous study for the book and you wanted to incorporate certain information from certain leaders in the book, and you came up with four archetypes of intuition, which I think if I remember correctly from the book, it was began with the work of Carl Jung, and then you adapted it. You talk about as having a predominant natural style, a healer, a sage, a visionary, or a mystic, and I'd like to take a high level look at those, how you came up with them and what they mean to us. So if our natural style, a natural intuitive style is healer, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of came up with these four archetypes really to help people understand the different ways that intuition manifests in it. Because, you know, when people are talking about intuition, some people say it's a feeling, others say it's a gut knowing or an instinct or even a spiritual experience or creative idea. So I wanted to help people to understand consciously the different ways that their intuition was working with them. So in the book, you probably saw there's this nice little affinity test that you can take to kind of see which one of these archetypes that you're most alike. So basically they mirror the four cognitive functions and basically the four elements of human experience, which is body, mind, heart, and spirit. So your intuition, when you, the healer archetype, is how your body speaks to you through your intuition, how it shows you how to heal and find well-being and balance and all of those things that we talked about a minute ago. Very strong with your physical intuition.
Right.
And then with the sage archetype, we're talking about the mind. We're talking about your inner guidance, making those choices and those decisions from an intuitive place instead of overthinking them, right? So really turning over those decision-making processes and in our life to our inner guidance. And then with the visionary archetype, we have people who are creative, people like the Steve Jobs of the world who are out there using their intuition to change the world and create new things and innovate, right? And bring all this new energy, very transformational sort of intuition. And then ultimately we have the mystic, which is, you know, that's the deepest intuition where we really feel that sublime connection to life and the universe and all that's beyond us.
Right, right. And that definitely helps us, I think. I went through that and I did take the test. I didn't add it up right in the beginning. So I don't know really which is my natural style, but I think it's kind of in the physical and maybe creative. I don't know. I have to go back and do it properly. But that's really helpful. And one thing I wanted to point out, you have a lot of tools in this book. It's not just telling you what, it's telling you how to explore, how to discover your natural style and cultivate your own intuition, which I love.
Yeah, and I wanted it to be a doing book. You know, I didn't want to just tell people about intuition. I wanted them to be able to read the book and experience these things for themselves, because that's the only way that we're going to build trust in our own intuition is by witnessing it working in our own life.
Yeah. So, well, that's a good segue into my next question, because I want to talk about trust. Okay. I do think it takes a while for you to trust. I 100% trust my intuition now, but it took me a long time. As I said earlier, I would often have this feeling and a knowing whatever, and I would override it with logic and rationale, whatever. I do think it takes a time for most people to trust their intuition. And so how do we know with absolute confidence that this is our inner guidance talking to us and we're not just imagining it or you know, having some random thought or playing into our fears or even playing into our wishes?
Yeah, no, those are all great questions in the way that it's all woven together, because that's literally what we focus on in, you know, I have a school, an online school, Intuition Lab, and that's our number one practice mode is differentiating the true voice of our intuition from all of those other, you know, quote-unquote voices in our head. Because, you know, we hear a lot of voices in our head, not actual voices, but, you know, there's a lot of sort of like inner critic we're dealing with, fears, emotions, wishes, all kind of stuff is in there. And we really have to sift through that to sort through to find that true north of our intuition. And, you know, in the book, I think there's a checklist that, you know, talks about some of the genuine qualities of intuition versus some of the qualities of non-intuition, which would be, like, you know, having a situation where you have an ego attachment, a personal motivation or a wish or a fear. All of those things are total kryptonite for your intuition. So that's why you always hear, if you hear psychics talk about, like, doing readings, and they're like, oh, it's so much easier to do a reading on a complete stranger. And it sounds counterintuitive. But that's the truth, because
right.
your mind's not getting in the way. You're just working with your raw intuition. But with all this other stuff, with these emotions and these feelings and these critical thoughts, they all get in the way of your intuition. So it makes it very cloudy and hard to differentiate it. So that's the state that a lot of us live in. But the more you start to work with your intuition, the more you start to recognize how it feels. And that's key, right? And then you'll go through these times where you'll work with your intuition, like, okay, I always tell people to start an intuition journal, and this is why, because you write down your intuitions, and then the most important part of this process is the validation at the end, is, you know, looking back and saying, oh my gosh, my intuition was totally right about that, and I didn't know at the time. You know, intuition is largely, you know, revealed in hindsight, you know, so it's something you have to look back and say, see from the future a lot of times. So really getting those validations to build trust is so important. And the only way to do that is through practice and through learning your own intuition, how it feels and what it feels on those times when it's right versus the times when it's wrong.
Right. So one of the things you say in the book is no one prescribed a route to higher awareness. You should start where you are and move forward. And I want to address that, because I think oftentimes people think, oh, I have to have a certain amount of education, or I have to wait for perfect timing before I do ABC. But you say just start moving forward. So if somebody feels that they're not in tune with their intuition and would like to start cultivating it, where do you encourage them to begin? Obviously, get your book, right?
Right. Well, there's a lot about, yeah, that'll help. So, but if, you know, if you, like, you want to today, you know, one thing I always tell people, and I'm glad that you brought up the point about intuition meeting us wherever we are, because it doesn't matter where you are, your intuition is always there, ready and waiting, you know, to give you that leg up and to give you that hand to move forward, even if, like, you're in the darkest time of your life. You know, all you need to do is turn back to your intuition, start to honor it and trust it, and it will show you the way back. So it's so important for people to realize that this is something that no matter where you are, no matter what's happening to you right now, your intuition is always there to guide you towards your best path and your growth and evolution and all the things you need to learn in life. So to do that, to really start to hear that voice, you know, the first thing I always tell people to do is slow down. You know, and that's the most important thing right now in our culture, where there's so much technology and we're so busy and we're always running around like chickens with our head cut off, that what we need more than anything is more white space. We need to create time alone with ourselves. We need downtime. We need stillness, because it's in that quiet stillness that our intuition starts to speak to us. And if we don't have that, then we're just going to get caught up in that hamster wheel of overthinking.
Right, right. And so we're living in awful times right now. I mean, I don't have to tell everybody what's happening, but so many people are feeling really challenged. And the one thing that I hear from, you know, many of my friends do work in the tech sector. They also are very creative people. And I hear from so many that they're blocked. I'm blocked. I can't focus. My mind is just, you know, an empty blank page, or it's too full of whatever. But when we have that feeling, when we don't get into that state of flow, as we call it in the creative world, you talk about that in the book. And one of the things that helps us is understanding our archetypes. But in general, how do we open up flow when we're feeling so blocked?
Yeah, and that is a great question, because getting in that state of flow, that's the ultimate intuitive state, whether it's just the creative flow or whether it's, you know, art or creating something in your life or, you know, going out and trying something new or buying a new house, or, you know, there's a million different ways to be in this sort of creative flow that allows you to create your life in a new way. So it's not just about art. It's about this whole process of bringing new energy into the world to change it and make your life better and the life of those around you better. So, you know, there's a lot of times when, you know, when we're not in our flow and we get off of our center, mostly that's because of we have too much mind. You know, we're living too much in our mind and not enough in our intuition. And, you know, when we're in that space where we're trying to control things, we're stuck in our head, we're feeling, you know, even fearful or afraid to take some chances and risks and do new things. So it creates this kind of place where we stagnate or we get in a rut, and that's like a creative block, right? So we have this block. So ultimately what we have to do is we have to break through those blocks and we have to get that flow started. And the best way to do that, regardless of what you're creating, is to go out and do new things and open up that space for new energy to come through. So, you know, mix up your schedule. Try something new. Get out of this sort of routines that are holding us back and creating this backed up energy. So first we get into that stillness. We allow that stillness to come. And then we have to open up space for all of that energy to flow through into the world. So, you know, whether you're out, you know, trying a new, go to a new, I know it's hard with COVID right now because there's like, you know, there's not like a lot we can do when we're going out in terms of community engagement, but I think there's online options too. But it's really about engaging in new ways and pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone.
Mm. So I'm wondering, and I ask most of my guests this question because most of them are, like you, are very prolific and you know, seem to push through even when times are tough, but I'm finding that most of the, in fact, all of them have said it's been tough for them to focus and concentrate. I'm wondering how this whole situation has impacted you and your work and how you've worked through it.
Mm. Yeah, you know, and it, you know, really it was, it's been challenging, you know, because we're really excited about the book and it came out on Election Day, which, you know, was not a... maybe the worst day in history to launch a book, but also one of the most interesting days and a real punctuation mark for the, you know, for the message of this book. So I think it was apropos. But, you know, I think the hard part for me has been not being able to engage with my community. You know, I appreciate the downtime and I appreciate the opportunity to write and do all these solitary things. But, you know, I've been really big on retreats, and we would have quarterly retreats. We spend a lot of time in person. We had a retreat to Sedona that we were going on, and so there was a lot that, you know, I really missed that engagement, and I think that's a real part of community, is a real part of our spiritual growth and our fulfillment in life.
Yes, definitely. Well, it's great talking with you, Kim. I love your book. I'm not a woo-woo person, and I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Thanks.
It's not on the woo-woo level. It's so great.
Yeah, it's a low woo. A
low woo. I love that. But it's got some great tools and resources in there, and I know you researched this really well, and I hope it does really well for you. It's called Radical Intuition, A Revolutionary Guide to Using Your Inner Power. And I know listeners can find out much more about you, Kim, at your website, kimchestney.com. Final thoughts you'd like to leave us with today?
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know, if you want to grab, I have a free Wake Up Your Intuition guide on my website. If you hop over there, that's a great way right now just to start doing a few of these practices we talked about today. And just opening up space for your intuition, because really it makes all the difference in your life.
Yeah, and I noticed you have some fun. You have some fun cards on there too. You want to tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, I designed those myself.
They're very pretty. Very pretty.
Thank you.
All right, so listeners can find out more at kimchestney.com. And I want to quickly thank everyone for listening today. If you have feedback, comments, or questions on today's conversation, you can reach me through our website at conversationslive.net. Until next week, stay healthy, stay strong, and be safe out there. And listen to your intuition. I should add that too, right?
Definitely.
Thanks for being with us, Kim.
Thanks so much.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.